Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
I take this opportunity to once again welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner, coming to you live and in living color here from the old clerk's office. And I used to say it was the corner office, but they corrected me that it's really not in the corner, that there's a hallway out there that keeps it being in the corner. So I stand corrected on that. But it's a pleasure coming into your home each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, we have the rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And we're working on a streaming broadcast where we can replay these again. Hopefully we'll have that back up and going here before long. And we may even experiment one of these days and do a live YouTube show or something from here just for the fun of it to see what that sounds like. But got lots of things we're going to be doing, but today we're going to be talking to the folks down at the Clay County Fair. I want to talk about a very, very successful fair that just concluded this past week. And got I don't know what all we've got to do. We may wander off on other things. Ms. Carla Rich is here with us this morning, and Corey Key, Mr. Dennis Miller, they're all with the fair. And, of course, they do other things, too, and we usually try to get Carla off on something else. But it's hard to get Cora off track when she gets started because she's always got lots of information about 4-H and her bunch of youngins that she's got that she works with. And I know they were participating in the fair last week, and I know they've been participating in a whole bunch of things, not only in our fair here, but some other contests. I'm sure she may fill us in on that. But with that, we'll be ready to start here in a minute, but we'd first like to thank the folks that make this possible, and that is the three-star committee, the Clay Chamber of Commerce, and all the great sponsors that we have that make this possible here. And if you'd like to especially sponsor this show, you know, give them a call over at the radio station, the head office. Of course, now we are located here in Salina, and I guess a lot of folks noticed last week that our Salina Tower got knocked out by the storm about last Tuesday night over at Midway. So if that happens and you're on 101.5, it does have a duo broadcast on the other. I think it's 102.7. And so you can tune over there real quick. But sometimes that does happen because that big old tower out there on that hill, it is kind of susceptible to lightning sometimes. And Ivan has to come down and straighten it all up. And I think I saw somebody out there maybe trying to cut a path through the weeds and the bushes to get to it online the other day. But we're back up and going today. And like I said, we just broadcast all over the world from out at Moss Midway. So with that, I think we'll take a little short break. We'll come back and we'll get started with today's program. And all included in today's program, of course, our birthday and anniversary club, where we'll be giving away another one of those wonderful prizes from over at the Chamber, sponsored by WVFB FM 101.5, which you happen to be tuned to right now if you're hearing this. So just remember those numbers and keep your dial on there all day if you're around the house. I know Randy's got a whole new playlist of things up and going. If you like all kinds of music, just keep listening there, and sometime during the day you'll hear your favorite kind. But with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to be here this morning. I know the weather is nice and warm outside, and it's not a whole lot better in here, but it's fairly well. We're not perspiring too much just sitting around, but who knows when we start talking. It may warm up in here a little bit. But it's great to have these folks with us this morning, and I'm going to do a little rundown on the Clay County Fire last week, and I think I can very easily say one of the most successful outings we've had in a number of years. Even though we did get scared to death on the opening night and we're sitting there thinking, another one of them years again. And I know Miss Carla Rich, who is now our, president of the association, in her first year, I guess, doing this, or not necessarily doing, but helping. A lot of times as a helper over the years, but kind of in charge this year, and I know it's kind of frightening, but things cleared up, straightened up, and had a very, very successful week. And we're going to start off with this morning Miss Corey Key, who is our 4-H lady down at the UT Extension office, and I know she has just a whole bunch of things that she wants to talk about. That happened with 4-H down there last week. And I believe you've got to be somewhere else at a certain time today. So do you have to talk fast, or can we kind of take our time?
I'll talk slow, but I need to be out of here. Kind of at 9:30 or so.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Thomas. Yes, our 4-H members in the UT Extension office are always actively involved in the fair, and we were so excited to see new changes and new things going on, like the hay bale decorating contest and all of the stuff that happens inside and outside. We certainly feel like the Clay County Fair this year is one of the best that we've had. You might have seen some changes in our livestock barn and facility as well. We had record number of livestock shown and entered in the fair, which is something I hold near and dear to my heart. We had our beef show grow, it almost doubled in numbers from the previous year, so that was super exciting for us to have more exhibitors showing beef, and then we even got to have the grand drive of that out in the main arena, so hopefully maybe some kids and youth saw some cattle being shown, and maybe that's something they want to take interest in now. It's got them excited about it. They can certainly contact me or our extension office, and we can help them get some animals to show. This year we had a pig show on Wednesday night, a sheep show on Thursday night, a goat show on Friday, and then our beef show is our final livestock show on Saturday. Our extension office also gets to help out with the inside exhibits as well, as far as taking all those entries in that you see at the women's building. I believe we had the record number of entries for that as well, with some new categories and divisions, like with the arts and crafts and bread baking and the flowers and all that good stuff. So we were super excited about that. We certainly feel like it was a great Clay County Fair, and we're super thankful that the Fair Board lets the UT Extension office help out and play a part in that. Our kids got a lot out of it, and even some local y'all's had some success in the show ring as well.
Okay, now, contest. Okay, now, exactly what is the connection of the 4-H Extension Office to the county fairs?
Right, we just get to help out. So it's not necessarily something we run. The fair board is in charge of it, but they let us help out and have our contests. Like, we are in charge of the livestock shows and then the exhibits as well. We help out with Senior Day, and we typically have our Century Farm Dinner over there where we provide a meal to those that have had farms for over 100 years in Clay County that's been in the family name. So there's lots of stuff we get to help out with. We don't necessarily make the decisions and run the budgets. That's all the fair board, but we get to help out with help having events and the contests like the livestock shows. Our UT Extension office is in charge of those.
Okay, now, Carlotta, is this still the UT Agricultural Fair? Is that still the official name of our fair that our counties have, or is it under the State Fair Association, that type thing?
Well, right now we just call ourselves the Clay County Fair, but I think that we have had and we will always have quite an emphasis on agricultural exhibits. We are a rural area, and that topic has been important here for a long time, and we really take it as a mission to try and be that link between folks that maybe don't get to see agricultural type exhibits and people that do that on a daily basis. And so we want people to be able to come out to the fair and see things that they wouldn't ordinarily get a chance to.
What I was wondering about, does UT still sponsor those county fairs like they did a number of years ago? I was wondering if anyone even remembers that I think they actually helped sponsor monetarily with some of the fairs in the county. I just wonder if that was still in effect with UT.
It's not as much that way now. The Clay County Fair Board has pretty well taken over the financial sponsorship of the fair, and you're correct. In the years before we actually started our fair back up in 2001, the Clay County Extension did have youth fairs and things like that they put on.
That's kind of where I was getting to, because when we didn't have the fair, you know, we had the youth fairs out at Salina K-8 one year, down at Hermitage Springs Elementary or High School one year, that type of thing. And it was to enable our kids not to be disadvantaged statewide for, I guess, their resume in 4-H. Corey, you want to kind of reflect on that a little bit?
Yes, and I always thought growing up showing livestock, getting the county fair was a good first place to get those animals out and get that practice and to get your record to the Clay County Fair or your exhibit, stuff that you had already done through the club and 4-H work. You could submit it to the fair and maybe get some extra money and some prizes and premiums, or help you prepare it for next year. If you didn't win at the county fair, then you're probably not going to win at the regional or state level. So kind of use it as that first practice, almost like a scrimmage kind of in a way, is what we always use the fair for growing up. But our youth this year were very active in our club, which I'm super thankful for, with their posters and displays and demonstrations. And then they get to turn those into the fair as well. And then, like Carla said, we want agriculture to be a strong forfeit. We want people to know where their food comes from and where their clothing and all that good stuff. So we want to have animals there and crops there and let people get that firsthand experience. Even though Clay County's rural, you can still go into the schools and ask people, well, does brown milk come from a brown cow? And they might not know. So we want to get that firsthand and get those animals out and get people a chance to interact with that. So we kind of use the fair as an educational tool. There's lots of good things and on the financial side and getting people to come out, but we also want it to certainly be an educational tool and experience that these people will remember for a long time.
So that's kind of like the old thing, the brown cow eats green grass, kills white milk, and makes yellow butter. And okay, I know one of the things too with the youth fairs was that at that time our kids were kind of at a disadvantage statewide because they weren't receiving, I guess, maybe points from doing local shows and things. Is that still in effect, or is it now just once you get to the, like going to a meet in Murfreesboro or Galveston or somewhere else, is that the important thing now?
It's a little bit different now, so the point system doesn't carry on. Some of the livestock shows, there are show circuits that keep up with points, But now the big thing is, like, the first time you go to a meeting for anything, for a record book, for a speech, if you haven't practiced it and done it in front of a group before, you're going to be at a disadvantage because everybody else is going to do it at their county fair or their county show or at the local level. So instead of having those fairs and having our Clay County Fair instead, it gives our youth a kind of an opportunity to practice, not necessarily for points, but they're going to be better prepared for the regional contest, whether that's in Lebanon or Murfreesboro or the state contest. Sometimes that's in Cookeville, wherever that may be, because they took part in the Clay County Fair, they're going to be more prepared for that.
Okay, now another thing, too, that's kind of near and dear to my heart, that was the speech contest thing over the years. I know down at K-8 that I know in my wife's class that they practiced and worked on that for many, many years and were, I guess, you know, kind of highly recognized all over the state of Tennessee for the speakers that we turned out. And I know we have turned out some excellent, excellent 4-H folks that have gone on to the next level. And one in particular that followed you a little bit, Mr. Franklin. I know he is now working, I think, maybe for UT or going to be or something or other, got advanced degrees. And I know, kind of, like I said, he kind of followed behind you, where you rode your 4-H horse all the way through University of Tennessee, didn't you?
Yeah, and you can use your 4-H and your public speaking background to go a long ways. You know, extension and 4-H is something that, if you're wanting to go on and get those extra degrees, probably something that you should consider being involved in. It'll help you not only with scholarships and the financial, but help your public speaking and communication skills just to be well-informed and help you on later in life. It certainly did for me when I got both of my degrees and Garrett as well. Just really use it as a stepping stone, our 4-H involvement.
Okay, and now I know going on right now at the same time as the fair, I think, was there a couple of contests going on at the regional or state level at that time, maybe that y'all did participate in? You'll tell us.
Yes, Thomas, I was waiting for you to bring that up. That's what I'm excited to be here for today. So livestock judging is going to be one of the 4-H competitions that, if I had to pick a favorite, and maybe it's extension agent, I shouldn't say that I have a favorite contest or event, but it's certainly livestock. And I guess that's because of my involvement at the University of Tennessee when I was on the collegiate team and I finished top 20 in the nation at the North American. And then the next year when I was getting my master's degree, I got to coach the college team and travel the country. I just know the doors of opportunity that livestock judging can open. As far as the skills it teaches you, it really focuses on decision making. So those youth have to make a decision within a couple minutes. And then they have to give a set of oral reasons and defend that decision, why they placed that class of livestock they did. So they'll look at cattle, goats, sheep, and swine and rank them based on their ability to be breeding animals and market animals. But kind of the success that we had. So we had a two-man team from Clay County, and you can't compete with just two. Typically, teams have four people, and you have a drop score. So we were really fighting to get that third person, and we got a new 4-H member to enroll in our Clay County 4-H and to get us that three-man team. So it does put us at a disadvantage, but we finally had enough people to compete. We went on to the central region where we were third, and the top four teams move on to the state. The state contest was in Knoxville. It was the first day of our fair, so not this past Monday, but the Monday before was the state livestock judging contest in Knoxville. There was four teams from each region representing the state, and Clay County was third at the state level, and we're going on to the national level. We'll be going on to a trip to either Arizona to the national out there. We'll either go to Denver, Colorado, which is the National Western, or to Kansas City to the American Royal. Those are kind of the top three 4-H livestock shows in the country. And because we were the third place team, we'll get to select one of those to travel. So we're fixing to start up some fundraisers. So if you want to give us some support, if you see us out fundraising, please do that. Or if you think you know somebody that might could sponsor our livestock division team to go to their national contest, please come in and see us at our UT Extension office. Our team members are Eli Rich, Kendall Hamilton, and Gavin Giffey. They really took a passion for this. Eli was actually the third overall individual of the contest and was the top individual in the swine contest as well. They have a division for each species. What makes me the proudest as a 4-H agent is they were the second team as far as oral reasons go, so that's their ability to communicate and defend their decisions. Really getting those three up to be second as far as communication skills certainly meant a lot to me.
Okay, and I know they have all been here on the radio show, and I do know that you have no problem getting things out of Eli. Now, what about the other two? Has that been kind of a, just a little bit of a struggle? Well, I mean, not picking on her, but to get Kendall to be a little bit more upright and forthright in her speech work. Has that been just a little bit of coaching, maybe?
For sure, Thomas. I've had to coach her. Back in the spring when we first started Livestock Coach, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous for her to go in and give a set of reasons in a speech and use her authoritative public speaking voice. But, you know, I've coached her and worked with her, and she was in the top 15 of the state last week for oral reasons, and the team went on to second place, so she's certainly come a long ways, and she's going to continue to grow. And that's the exciting and important thing about 4-H involvement, is you get to see these youth grow, and maybe things that are their weaknesses become their strengths, and because of this, she's going to be a better communicator for years to come.
Very good. Okay, now what else you got? Are you about ready where you've got to skedaddle out of here in a few minutes?
I can talk for a few more minutes. We've got 4-H camp coming up next week, and then we'll be starting outdoor meat cookery practices pretty soon as well. So we stay active and involved, and if you want to get involved in 4-H, outdoor meat cookery sounds like something you want to do, come see us. We'll probably start practicing for that pretty soon. And then all next week, we'll be going to 4-H camp. We're taking 50 youth with us, and it's going to be a hot week. We're going to play in the pool and zip line and make new memories and friends, and it's going to be a blast.
And I think you've got some kids gone this week maybe to academic conference.
Yeah, so you've got 7 youth right now that are at academic conference in Knoxville. So the way academic conference is working, you're chosen based on your portfolio that you submit in about your involvement in your projects. And then you get to, if you're selected, so not everybody gets to go, but if you get selected, you get to represent your county at the UT campus. You get to spend a day at Dollywood, and then you get to work with the state specialist for that particular project area. So we do have 7 gone right now. We have 2 boys, Cordell McLaren and Jasper Donaldson, and then 5 girls, Kara Mason, Kylie Hicks, Kalia Crawford, Chandler Rich, and Claire Kendall. So they're a great 7. And I think that's the most that Clay County's ever got to send to academic conference as far as I can remember. And this year it was the county with the most in the state. So super proud of that for them 7 up there. I've got to check in on them a couple times. Today's their last full day. They seem kind of sad when I checked in and talked to them this morning. It seems like they're having fun and representing us well. And we hope they take those skills and knowledge that they learn up there and bring them back and share them with others and then just help out our community by going on with that. And then we also have Eli and Kendall that turned in the record books. We're looking to see their results on that, and they may get to go back to Knox late July and then represent us at State 4-H Roundup.
All right. Good job, Cora, as usual. With that, we'll all catch our breath and work in a few commercials here, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. big selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County is operated by those we serve.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Welcome back, everyone. I know Miss Cora had to leave. Sometimes she needs to go take a break and rest up a little bit. I think she'll probably rest up when she gets to be about 80, if I was to guess, with the energy that she has. But it's great to have her with us here. But also, this morning, I have, like I said, Mr. Dennis Miller here, who is the treasurer of the Fair Board and the president of the Fair Board. And I'm not sure, but I think maybe Dennis has been with the Fair Board forever. And maybe let him just talk a little bit about the struggles of getting the fair restarted and some of the things, the obstacles and some of the hard luck and things like that. Before then, he's going to give us a little report on all the people that showed up here this year for the fair. Dennis, if you would, please.
Thank you, Thomas. I have been responsible for the finances for the last couple of decades or so, and it's always 1 week of a lot of work, and the rest of the year just a lot of accounting. But we always look forward to Fair Week, and we're seeing how we're going to do. Coming back from the year that we had to take off was a struggle. A lot of people missed the fair. And so last year, our first year back, we did set some records for at least back a dozen years or so for attendance, because a lot of people were champing at the bits wanting to come back to the fair. And we were hoping that this year we could even top that year. But as it turned out, the rain on Tuesday night, or lightning really, that forced us to shut down and to cancel one of our most popular events, the ATV Rodeo. That night, and then all of the rain that followed caused us to have to cancel the second night of the ATV Rodeo, which again is one of our more popular events, really put a dent in our attendance. But nonetheless, we came within $223 of last year's gate, even though we lost nearly one full night and a down crowd on the second night. We were able to come back mightily, and we had the biggest Thursday gate in the history of the fair. Just really, if anyone attended that night and had to wait from the four-way stop all the way down the highway and down the ramp to get in, you know what we're talking about. There was a tremendous, tremendous crowd on Thursday night. And so we were actually able to recoup the losses that we had earlier in the week. Now, some people have thought that maybe the last couple of years we have had record gates, but that's not the case. Our record still stands from 2011 was the top gate that we've had since we've been keeping records the last couple of decades on these fairs. But nonetheless, it was an excellent gate. The other main revenue stream that we really concentrate on is selling ads and getting sponsorships from the various people in our community and the surrounding communities. And this year, we had some new people that were willing to take on some of the tasks of securing these ads and sponsorships. We also experienced, a shot in the arm, because this is an election year. And so we had a lot of candidates that were able to help support us in order to get their candidacies publicized a bit. And so this year our ad sales were up $7,000 over last year, some 36% increase. And so it was a tremendous, tremendous shot in the arm for us cash-wise. And so there are two of our biggest income streams, our gate and our ad sales, both have done very, very well this year.
Well, you know, if you happen to run across one of the old fair books from back forever. The Clay County Fair has always drawn very, very good regional sponsors here. And I don't know, I guess the tradition has been there. And through all of the fact of not having a fair, the fair leaving Moss, I mean, you know, the little community of Moss was one of the bigger little county fairs forever and ever, out there stuck on a bunch of little hills that did have had a stadium, you know, and stuff like that. And then moving over here and then running into, well, that the pandemic, just getting started again after it was, how many years was it dormant? Do you remember how many years we didn't have a fair? I don't remember the number of years, but I know there was a great number of years where we just kind of dropped out of it. And of course, that was back in the days when the University of Tennessee was the main sponsor, I think, of that. And I know that it was a hard comeback, but like I said, when you look through this year's program book and you see advertisers from Ali Dennis, maybe as far as 70, 80 miles out from Salina that are listed in there.
People realize that we present a good value. We bring a good crowd. We have the kinds of people that will spend money at their businesses. So we've always had a real good response from our supporters and our sponsors.
Okay, and I know that the fair itself, Carl, on that, how many fairs of the size of this can bring in a midway like we had down there this year? I mean, I think that was one of the better small midway that you'll find anywhere.
It is. We are so lucky to have the James Gang as a partner for us for the fair. Most people don't realize that they actually have a waiting list of fairs that would like them to come and partner with them for their fair. And so we have been having them come here for 20 years, and we had a really good conversation with them at the beginning of the fair, and they expressed to us just how much they love coming here, and they really appreciate the history that they have with us, and honestly, they've become friends.
What does that mean when you talk about discount?
Well, we just want everybody to do well. We're not in the business of making a ton of money. We just want to make enough to be able to provide a great entertainment value for the community and have a really large event and lots to see and do that are free for the folks after they come through the gates.
Okay, now let's go a little bit farther on that, and that is the park board. I think, I know, Dennis, you serve on that, I think, and Carla, you do also, I think, and tying that in with the county fair, are there any definite plans of some of the things, the improvements maybe to be made over there through, you know, county funds, fair funds, or whatever? Is there a long-range plan in place for the fairground?
That is definitely something that we're going to be talking about. I am a member of the park board, and Dennis is a member of the fair board, and those two boards meet the same night, and many of them are the same members on both boards, and even the ones that are not, we still work together very, very well. The fair, of course, depends on having a strong park and their support for our week that we use it. And, you know, we have a long wish list of things that we would like to improve and ways that we would like to grow. And so we're going to be working closely with them to perhaps help provide some funds to make those things happen. And so it's really nice that the fair can actually do some fundraising and improve the park that will be used for the whole rest of the year for activities besides the fair.
Okay, and I know that down there we're dealing with a lease with the Corps of Engineers, and of course a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, when we think Corps of Engineers and the property here in Salina, we're talking about Dale Holloway, but we're not. It's a whole different set of administration that we're dealing with, which sometimes is not a pleasant way to get things done sometimes, because we're actually now with the Cordell Hull district, which is totally really foreign to where we're at, isn't it?
Right, and you know, there are certain things that we need to do to be a good partner with the Corps of Engineers. any kind of improvements that we would like to make or new constructions or remodeling has to go through the Corps first. And sometimes that process can be lengthy. It can take 6 to 9 months for us to get approved for a project like that. So anything that you see new during fair time, you will know that the process of getting that done started long, long before fair time, even a year before.
And I know that if you came up with the funds to build an outdoor amphitheater or something down there, well, you've got to get permission from the Corps before you can dig a post hole over 6 inches deep, I believe, 5 or 6 inches into the ground.
That is correct. That is correct. We had lots of comments from folks wanting us to have a demolition derby at the fair. And that is actually something that they had in the very early years when they started it back. And that was the only thing that the Corps has come to us and said, hey, we've got some concerns about the oil and fluids leaking into the river, and we want to protect our environment. And so that is one activity that we are not able to have at our fair just because of the location.
And I do know that a number of the fairs for a number of years had the four-wheeler races where they would race around in the circle inside there. And I think maybe we had some injuries, fatalities at some fires and things, and I think that's kind of went away from any place that any government has anything to do with anymore.
Well, you know, they've worked on that quite a bit, and on Tuesday and Wednesday night of the fair this week, we were supposed to have the dirt bike and ATV rodeo. And so they actually do still ride some ATVs, but they do that in a different way, and there's not more than one of them in the ring at a time.
Right.
And it's just a timed event.
And
so it's a little different than having several in there racing. It is. And it's safer that way, and we're proud that folks can still come out and participate and feel good about their safety while they're doing it.
Right, and I know that you said with the demolition derby. The demolition derbies are a big deal still, I think. Maybe not necessarily here, but they are. And I also know that, you know, sometimes folks look down and they see the basketball court down there. And they say, well, why in the world did they put that on top of the ground? Why did they not dig down and make it level? Well, to dig down and make it level, it would have probably taken 2 years to get permission to do that.
Right, and you know, it's just thrilling to me to drive across the bridge and see kids down there playing on that basketball court. It's just wonderful when we can get grant funds to provide facilities like that for folks.
Okay, now, let's see, at the fairground, you guys have got, you still got your big event coming on later in the summer, the truck pull, tractor pull thing?
The Lions Club will be sponsoring a truck.
Well, I mean, you're here, you want to talk about that a little bit.
I don't have a lot of information on that. Ronnie Wheeler pretty much takes care of that.
Okay, but there's still plans to do that?
As far as I know.
Okay, and I know that those things, they usually draw pretty good. And what about any other events, Carla, right now that you think of that maybe that the fire board is looking at?
Well, I am proud to announce that the dirt bike and ATV group that we had to cancel because of the weather has decided to reschedule their event at the fairgrounds in July. And I believe that date is Saturday, July the 16th, if I'm remembering that correctly. They're going to start registration at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I think they're going to start running at 3. And so that's an event that they are going to run themselves, so they will be charging admission at the gate, and I believe they told me that they have decided to set admission at $10 for that event. And so I think that anyone would be welcome to come out and participate in that or come and watch. I'm sure we will have concessions available, and it will be an exciting time for sure.
Okay, well, I think it's time we took a little break. We may have run past the halfway through. But right now I'm going to read the birthday and anniversaries for today, and here in a few minutes we'll be giving away one of our wonderful prizes. Celebrating the birthday today, Mr. Jess Roten, and also happy anniversary to Carolyn and David Browning, and a happy birthday to Taylor Strong, happy birthday to Jerry Fox, and also Miss Liz Brown's granddaughter called her name in to wish her a happy birthday during this period. Mr. James Moss celebrated the birthday. Mr. Zane Roberts and Miss Shirley Little. But we've got a pretty good little list this morning, and we'll be choosing someone to win that prize here just in a few minutes. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll key up some advertisements and come back, and we've got some more time. We may wander off on something else here in a minute. We'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked. That's Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information, 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Welcome back, everyone. We are back here, and we're thankful to be able to be here today, and it really hadn't gotten too hot in here yet, so we're still hanging on, and like I said, Dennis Miller and Ms. Carla Rich is still here with me, and we've kind of wandered away from the fair a little bit. In conclusion about the fair, Carla, anything that you would like to add to what's been said?
Well, I will say this. We did have two judges come to the fair this week. On Thursday night, we had a guest from the Robertson County Fair, and he was there to judge our fair for the state competition through the Tennessee Association of Fairs. And then on Friday night, we had a judge from the regional fair down around Lawrenceburg. And both of those folks were so complimentary of our fair, but most importantly, the partnerships that they saw represented there. And, you know, in talking to them, I just didn't realize how lucky we are to live where we do and to have all of our government agencies, our businesses, so willing to work together for this. You know, if I started naming them, I'm sure I would miss one, but, you know, they...
This is only an hour show.
Right. It would take that long for me to name them all, but, you know, the Sheriff's Department showed up this year with a Dunkin' booth, And how fun was that? And that was something that they just took on themselves to get that Duncan booth out and get it renovated and to have staff there running it all week. And
did you participate?
I did not, but there were times that I would have been glad to because it was pretty hot Tuesday afternoon. You know, we even had folks come in to help with our opening ceremony, the American Legion and the Boy Scouts and some of our local elected officials, Mayor Dale Reagan. We had folks from Senator Marsha Blackburn's office and Jim Haggerty's office and, you know, just folks, even like Grant Strong. He came and did a patriotic reading for us, and every little bit that everyone does makes a huge difference. I just can't say enough that we couldn't do this fair without everybody's support and without lots of people doing their own little part. And, you know, for those folks that I didn't get to actually talk to this week because I was running around pretty crazy, I just want you to know that your efforts didn't go unnoticed.
Okay, now, on Thursday night, a visitor came in down there, and the first thing they did was go through the exhibition hall down there. And in there, just real quick, what'd they see in there?
Oh, my goodness. We had so much to see in there. We have categories for every different kind of item that you could enter in the fair that you could possibly imagine. We had food, and we had flowers and quilts and crafts and school projects and pictures. There was so much. And, you know, there was a new contest at the fair this year called the Painted Rock Scavenger Hunt. And so we painted rocks, and we hid those every afternoon all around the fairgrounds. And if someone found one of those rocks, they could bring it back to the women's building, and we had a whole table of prizes there that they could exchange that rock for a prize. And that was very well received. And we'll probably do that again next year, but we're going to change the size of the rocks.
Well, you know, I think on decorating the hay bale, no one used the thing that I think I could have won with. If you've never seen it, I'm sure you have at Halloween, where you have the man's pants from the waist down and stuck in the hay bale and the legs sticking up.
So we can count on you entering that next year.
And on the end of it says, call 911, please.
Well, I think that was actually maybe in part of the rules that we asked nobody to do because we didn't want to create any alarm.
I'm ashamed of you doing that. That is one of the better ones that you'll ever.
It is a very good one, a very good one.
Well, okay, now on around that night, there's a stage down there. What time is it, Dennis? We still got plenty. On the stage there, you walk around through there, and I think one night I saw people there singing.
Yes, we did. We had two nights of open mic night where anyone could come and sing. And, you know, we had a young guest, and I didn't get her name, but she was from Livingston, and she has a dream of singing on the big stage. And in order to get to the big stage, you have to go to the little stages, and she came to ours.
She was here before, Miss Hammock. Chris, I believe her name is, I'm not sure what her first name is, wonderfully talented young lady.
We have had.
And I think she is in school now, down at David Lipscomb, majoring in music composition or something like that.
Yes, she has come in the past, and this was actually a new one. So we have another one coming from Livingston now.
And also, I think you looked down there one night and you saw a cornhole contest going on.
We did. That was something new that we tried this year. And, again, that was a partnership with the Clay County High School fishing team. They put that on for us in return for making a little bit of money for their organization. And we had a very modest goal of hoping to have 4, 5, 6 teams, and we had 19 teams come and participate. So because everybody enjoyed that, I think we'll probably do it again next year.
Okay. Now, what is anything else different took place there on that little stage?
Well, we plan to have a bluegrass concert there on Friday night, and it started clouding up a little bit, and we moved that inside to the women's building. And for anyone that managed to get in there and hear them, they really got a treat because they put on a great show.
That was with one of our local musicians.
It was. Joseph it's a band Smith. Called Copper Canyon with Tim Delk and Joseph Smith and friends, and they really did put on a great show. I'll mention also that our dog show grew by great numbers this year. I think we only had two or three last year on Wednesday night, so we changed it to Thursday night. And that seemed to be a good decision because the large women's building was full of dogs and an emu. So we had terrific participation. And so we'll probably keep that on Thursday night from now on because we had wrestling on Wednesday night.
Okay, Dennis. Thomas, you mentioned earlier asking a question about UT's contributions. They no longer provide financial assistance, but they did provide us with tremendous personnel to help to manage and to operate a lot of these events. However, I want to mention and give credit to the Tennessee Department of Agriculture. We do receive grants, financial grants from them. One of the grants is based upon how many exhibits we have in our livestock exhibits. And so, as Cora mentioned earlier, we have record numbers of animals there, so we'll have a pretty good grant from the state based upon this year to apply to our fair next year. We also have grants that are based upon our entries in other areas, and I just want to make sure that you understand it's not UT doing this. This is
right. Okay, that's where I'm trying to get to exactly. Where I know you. There was something still there, and I knew it used to be. You know, UT was the big sponsor all over the state, and now. Are there any events, like if you win here, that would gain you entrance to the state fair?
The fairest of the fair winner will go to compete at the national, or I'm sorry, at the state convention the first of next year to possibly be the state fairest of the fair.
Okay, and is that the end of that? And that's the ultimate, is the state. Okay,
yes.
And I do know now, do we... The state fair, which of course is in Lebanon now, do we normally send some of our 4-H folks down? I think they compete down there, don't they?
Yes, several of our 4-H'ers will go there and compete in different contests and livestock shows, but we are also going to be sending some of our exhibits from the Farm and Home Division down there to compete in the state fair. Since the state fair has moved to Lebanon and combined with the Wilson County Fair, they've really done a good job in contacting every local fair and giving us certain categories that we can bring our winner from to the state fair. And they're actually going to give us exhibit space to put up some kind of a display that tells everybody what Clay County is all about.
Very good. And, of course, I go back to the good old days, and I guess Dennis may have been living up here during that time when when the state fair came around. There was always on the school calendar State Fair Day, where we fired them big yellow buses up, loaded up every kid in the school system, and took them down to Nashville, unloaded them down to State Fair. And they got to spend the entire day down at the state fair, riding all the rides, going to all the exhibits, seeing all the 300 or 400 different kinds of chickens running around there in that cage. Just an amazing thing that happened, which I don't think has happened. Probably, I don't, even if the state fair even sponsors that anymore, where they have, you know, allowing the schools to come in. And I know that was a big thrill, and I do know that some of those bus trips were kind of scary. We had bus drivers driving to Nashville and all the traffic down there that had really, most of them had never been any farther much than Pine Hill. So the trip down sometimes was very interesting. Their driving skills wasn't used to four lanes. Some of them didn't know you were supposed to look in the mirror before you changed lanes. They thought that was just whenever you decided to go over here is okay, when you decide to come back is okay. But, you know, those are things that, you know, that really, really, you know, kept interest up in things like our fairs. And I do know that this year's fair and the folks that came over on Thursday night, you know, that was amazing to see that. I told someone we had traffic backed up all the way to the 52-53 crossroads. But we came close to that, I'm sure. And I know now the nice thing about that is you're going to have to turn every night into that now.
Oh, well, we'd love to have those growing pains. But, you know, I think we did a pretty good job of handling the traffic that we had. I think at one time we had 12 people taking up money at the gate to try to get everybody in quickly, and we opened up our overflow parking, and that worked great. So we have a little experience now on handling a crowd that big, and we'd be willing to try it again just any night.
You know, that's one of the amazing things here. When you've got something like that going on, and you have folks coming down that are coming into the fair, and after they get in and pay their money, you look up here, they're coming back to help you take up the money from that. You know, that's kind of what it's like here in Clay County when you do something like this. You don't have any trouble at all getting folks to help you. When they see they're needed, they're there, aren't they?
That's absolutely the truth. I sent out just one text with an SOS, and here came all these people to help. And, you know, we were able to just work together and have a good time. And, you know, even though people had to sit in traffic and it took a little longer to get in, I didn't hear of one person complain about it. They were all just so excited to be there and to be a part of such a big event.
Minnie Pearl, you say we're just so proud to be here.
That's right.
And I do, by walking around down there, I didn't get to walk around a whole lot. I had a little injection last week, and my walking tools weren't working real good. But I did get down there just a little while, and the lines at all of the rides were lined up deep, like you see at the so-called big-time fairs. And it seemed like everyone was enjoying it. And
Thomas, we want to be sure and express our appreciation to all of the people that came and supported us all week long. It wouldn't have gone over if it hadn't been for all the people coming to enjoy the fair.
And I know that anyone that came couldn't help but enjoy it. What about the food down there that night?
Oh, we had some good food. We had some really good food. You know, it's hard to beat a good funnel cake at the fair. And I saw a lot of people enjoying those, and that's part of Pope Concessions that travels with the James Gang. The Youth League had some awesome food. I know they had some walking tacos. We had the snow shack there with some snow cones, and we had fish, and we had the backyard cafe truck, and we had two different barbecue trucks. We had one that came and stayed the first half of the week, and then they had a prior commitment and had to leave, so we had another one come in. And it would be hard to say which one of those was the best, because they were both really great.
I think I got one of those open-range plates they had down there.
Yeah.
I think it took me three nights to finish that thing off before I got that thing done. But, you know, that is all, you know, county fairs. You know, the tradition, our first county fair, we found a record of, Dennis, I believe, about some of the early 1900s. And, of course, there was, you know, a fair here in Salina at one time. And if you look on the website, you'll see some pictures of the old fairgrounds there where we had a horse track there, had a baseball stadium there. You know, it's just amazing to see some of those things. And also, I think there's a fair book there from fair up at Willow Grove where they had fires up there. The history of the fires here are go a long, long way back. And the tradition, you know, that it seems like, you know, sometimes that we don't know how to handle success sometimes, and it seems like maybe our success sometimes outgrows us because we don't grow with it. And it looks like we got folks in charge now that are going to, if the fire grows, they're going to grow with it. And we're going to continue to get better and to turn out more winners, to send more happy people home every night when it's over with.
That's
which
right.
is the greatest part of all this. And with that, I don't know, we're getting down, golly. We've got a couple of minutes left. Any kind of farewell statement anybody wants to make? Invite everybody to come back about this same time next year, maybe, and enjoy the fair again.
And an extra thanks to all of the volunteers that made this possible. It's not paid staff, it's all volunteers that make this thing go, and we really appreciate all the work that everyone put into it.
You know, that's one of the amazing things about this county are the people that volunteer to work in any type of public service project that is deemed to be worthwhile and worthy. You don't have any problem getting folks to help you with it. And with that, I guess today's birthday winner is Mr. Jess Roden, and someone can come over to the chamber office and tell them who you are, and they will give you an envelope, compliments of WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, and enjoy a happy birthday to all of you folks, happy anniversary, all of those things, and we will see you again here next week, same place, same time, 9 o'clock in the morning, with a rebroadcast this evening here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, and good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.